To see examples of what we talked about on this episode, along with further information, go to bunchofdorks.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Two Dimension Podcast,
the comic book podcast
with no direction.
And now for something completely different. This is not Two Dimension Comic Book Podcast. This is Al, and this is an episode, an unreleased episode, of an old podcast show that I did called Destination Nightmare. This is episode 9. It was never released. It's mostly a music show and a conversation between me and my buddy Joust. So without any further ado, here's episode number 9 of Destination Nightmare.
Civil defense is common sense. This is Boris Karloff. No one can guarantee the survival of every home during a nuclear war, but a strong civil defense can save millions of lives. Make sure that yours is one of them. Learn how to protect your home. Call civil defense today.
To another episode of Destination Nightmare. I am Dr. Morbius, and with me this time,
CK.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Well, actually, I am touring. I'm at your locale this time.
Right.
I'm on the road. I'm making my great Visit All My Friends tour, and you're my only stop.
Well, I'm proud Probably to not. Be that stop.
I have such a full social calendar. So many friends, I can count them.
Well, there's that Pete Townsend song. How many friends have I really got? I can count them on one hand.
Exactly.
Yeah. From a great album called By Numbers.
Oh yes, I remember
that. That was a really good record, actually.
Good record. Good
that's
record.
Not that's kind of like on the downslide, but it's still a good one.
Absolutely.
So speaking of music, we were gonna talk music again. That's what we've been doing for the last 3 episodes, and our topic was what, bands or artists that.
Musical artists that
highly respected that
have good pedigree with the hipsters that yeah. we're supposed to like, that you and I either outright do not like or have some reservations about, or just like a little bit of their canon.
Yeah, it's hit or miss, and there's a few that are like, you know, we can't stand.
I guess you could say this is music that's too cool for me,
or too whatever.
Yeah.
Well, there's two I think that are like on our hit list. I guess Janis Joplin would be
be right up there. She's the crown jewel of Sorry I Don't Get It list for me.
Yeah, me neither, man. I just remember listening to those records when I was a kid, and it was just like screechy, nasty. I was aware of the music. I was into the Beatles. I was into the Stones and all that stuff. But that stuff just never resonated.
Well, remember down in South Florida, do you ever hear the Neil Rogers skit about her?
No, what was it?
I'm going to have to recreate it to some degree. But it was something along the lines of, what if Janis Joplin were an Avon lady?
I think I remember it now.
Ding dong. Avon! Avon! That's Avon! Call it! Yeah, that wouldn't really work, would it?
No.
I don't want any today, thank you.
And it's funny because somebody once said to me, so you like Robert Plant,
yeah,
Led Zeppelin, but you don't like Janis Joplin. Aren't they similar? And I go, well, not to my ears. You know?
No.
One sounds like he's kind of singing, and the other one just sounds like she's in pain, and which maybe is the attraction. I don't know.
Plus, Zeppelin, although it was derivative blues, they mangled it and morphed it into a more interesting sound than Janis's Big Brother
and the Holding Company. Yeah. Well, she went through
Holding Company, yeah.
She went through it. She had another band too towards the end before she died. She left Big Brother and the Holding Company, and then she became a solo artist. She had another band or whatever, but still, I just remember this friend of mine that, well, we'll refer to as the Chin, not Jay Leno.
Okay.
But he was the Chin, and he loved that stuff. But he liked three artists or four. I've got four fingers, but anyway, it was Joe Cocker. Who I like, a Screech guy.
I like Joe, yeah.
You know, Janis, who is the queen of the Screech.
Yeah.
You know, Led Zeppelin, Robert Plant, who's the other one. Those are like his three favorites, you know.
I like plenty of singers that cannot really sing. Leon Russell, Neil Young, Todd Rundgren. Well, he can sing in a certain way.
Tom Waits.
Lou Reed, of course. Tom Waits. Captain Beefheart.
Yeah.
These are all people that really, what are you doing? But they, you know, they just work for me, you know.
Yeah, some of them.
That guy from The Residence?
There you go. Work for you as in, you know, like cut the grass or something like that? Or
I like the way the whole presentation comes together.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of presentations that don't come together, sticking with Janis. So we heard her. And then one night we turned on the TV and there she was on the Ed Sullivan Show. How did that work out for you?
Not so much.
No.
You know, I guess if you know, you were around at the time and you were a little older, it'd probably be like, you know, oh my God, that's the blues, you know. But yeah, it's just some kind of a bizarro, nasty kind of thing for me.
No, she looked dirty. And
I mean, she was authentic. I guess, you know, she was Texas girl.
She was down, you know, down on the ground level, rootsy and all of that. But you can stay there, as far as I'm concerned. Don't get up here with us. No. Hey, you know what? She sold millions of records,
and
her estate has made buku bucks.
Yeah.
More power to her, but it ain't for me.
Another one of the.
I don't have one song of hers.
I don't have her albums. I can't.
Zippity doo da.
I mean, I will watch a movie. Like, there was one about, it was called Festival Express, about this train that was in Canada, and they had a bunch of rock bands in there, and they went from one end to the other. It was like the bands in there, tons of people. And then Janis comes on, and I'm like, oh, no, here we go. The Screech is back. I guess it's a personal taste kind of thing. I mean, her music was okay, I guess. But it was nothing, you know, I mean... I don't know. It just didn't happen for me.
No.
But another one of those guys, people, artists, who died around the same time at the same age of 27 is another one of your unfavorites, would be The Doors.
Yeah, I won't belabor it. I mentioned it before. My gag line is Boris Karloff doing jazz. I don't think I mentioned this. What was the refrain of one of their famous songs? We want the world and we want it now.
Yeah.
We want the world and we...
Yeah.
Even as an 11-year-old, I thought to myself, and I told my friends, the Clarks, who lived across the way, do you really think it's a good idea to hand over the world to this junkie? What's he going to do with it, you know? But oddly enough, an ironic thing about The Doors is, although there's one or two songs I can tolerate, I generally do not like The Doors. They really depress me. But I like plenty of people who have been influenced by The Doors.
Yeah.
I like Echo and the Bunnymen. I like love Nick Cave.
Yeah.
I guess there's some other gothy type bands that have certainly, you know, plugged into his, you know, vibe.
Yeah, I do like The Doors. I mean, but on one hand, I do like them because I think the first record's really good. And some of the other, and the first two or three are good and then they get spotty. But there's a level of pretension in Jim Morrison that totally annoys the hell out of me. When somebody tells me, "Oh, he was a great poet," I go, "No, he wasn't. He wanted to be a great poet."
There's a killer on the road. His mind's been
squirming like a toad.
Squirming like a toad. Is that great poetry?
Yeah, no. But I do like their music, and I do like, you know, the vibe that they gave off, which was the it was kind of like the anti. Summer of Love. You know,
yeah,
dark and
yeah,
gloomy.
It was the dark side. But I'll just plug into Velvet Underground for that vibe. I like that a little better. Well, no, I like it a lot better.
Yeah, that was the East Coast. That was even. Even more depressing, I think, in a lot of ways.
I wasn't going to take any advice from these guys, but I just liked the way that it sounded, you know?
Yeah. A modern day person that I've never, ever, ever been able to understand the popularity of is Bruce Springsteen. I just don't get it.
Come on, he's the boss. You got to do what he says.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's just bombast.
Bombast, yeah.
You know, like pseudo. Pseudo Dylan poetry at some point.
Yeah, I mean, now I'll say there's moments of his that I've liked, but nowhere near the accolades he gets. You know, that Rolling Stone just published a thick $12, you know, magazine that you're supposed to buy in the drugstore. The greatest 100 songs of Bruce Springsteen.
That's insane.
I put out a pamphlet with three songs of Bruce Springsteen that I like, that I can tolerate. I don't really... you know, right, hate Springsteen, but I certainly am no fan. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably a 3 at best on a good day. Usually, I'm just not interested. He's put out a new album now. My interest in hearing anything is almost nil, you know? So, I like Candy's Room, if you remember that song. That was a kind of a good song, kind of had that post-punk vibe to it. Mm-hmm. A couple of songs here and there, but Born to Run album, you know, it had that kind of energy, which was kind of unusual, that different approach, but to me it got old in a hurry. And yeah, I don't think he's a poet. You know, we're not all from Jersey, we're not all from New York, so I really don't care, you know.
And like, I guess his first 4 or 5 records, somebody tabulated the use of the word night, and I think it was like, you know, 50 times or something like that, you know, street, night, and you know, the whole 9 yards. I just thought it was, I mean, the guy could have been the real deal for all I know, but I just thought it was like an overblown mythology of something that just didn't ring true for me. You know, maybe if you're like from New Jersey or whatever, you know, but
well,
but
then Chris Christie or whatever.
Yeah, but then see, that's a problem. You know, you whatever. Anyway, I won't go there. But the thing is like you become like something that you're really not, and everybody thinks that you are. What you are, and you're not really that, and that to me is like typifies Bruce Springsteen. He's been a millionaire since like, you know, he was 25 or 26 or whatever.
Probably, yeah.
And like he every once in a while he becomes Woody Guthrie for like no reason. You know what I mean? It's again the rock guilt or whatever that annoys the freaking hell out of me. You know, I have no problem with emphasizing with people or whatever, but you know, you're a guy who plays arenas. You play for 3 hours, you know. I got nothing against you playing your acoustic guitar, but the reality is, even worse than his rock music is his acoustic music. You know that Nebraska and stuff like that. It's like when he tries to be depressing or whatever. I just can't handle that guy. Are you
very familiar with that record?
I just familiar with the songs they played on television and a few. I remember hearing a few more.
I think I have it somewhere in my vast media collection. And I think I remember hearing it at the time. I thought it was a little more interesting than his bombastic stuff.
See, I'm the opposite. I thought the bombastic stuff was at least, it had something to it. But the Woody Guthrie shit, it just sounds to me like...
What did you say?
Oh, I said a bad word. The Woody Guthrie poop sounds to me like, it just rings vague to me. You know, it's like, I want to be Dylan. No, you're not Dylan, man. You know, Dylan's not even Dylan.
No, is not actually Dylan.
And that's one of your guys that you're not particularly...
Yeah, I would say that I respect Bob Dylan.
He wrote some good songs.
I'm thinking of a Godfather reference here, but...
I'll give this to Dylan. He brought an intellect, some sort of... Well, I'll put it this way. I'll make it even more... He brought beat poetry into rock and roll, which is a good and a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
And he brought in, and he brought in, you know, protest music into rock music, which is usually, it was my view, not a particularly great thing, but it was something that he did at the time, and it was a little bit more of an intellect than
it was new. Although Peter, Paul, and Mary, I guess, were saying it, but they were saying it more calmly.
Yeah, and they were singing like Puff the Magic Dragon and stuff like that. Whatever, you know. I'm not a big fan of the folkies.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean.
Well, about Dylan, to me, it's just the way it sounds. You know, I like, as I said, plenty of singers that have a unorthodox sounding voices. And yeah. Dylan certainly has that from the very beginning. But for whatever reason, that voice, that sound, clicked with a lot of people, including a lot of important critics and a lot of people in the public. But for me, that voice has never really clicked. That sound has not worked for me.
Uh-huh.
I've liked other sound, you know, Van Morrison. He's got kind of an actually an odd sounding voice.
Oh, yeah, big time.
But I love him. I love Van Morrison. I can listen to Van almost any time. But Dylan, there's been some times where he's really clicked with me, but more often than not, it's not that I dislike him or I hate, you know, I just, I'm like, eh, it's just lukewarm for me. I've got plenty of Dylan in my collection, but I don't drag it out and play very often.
Yeah, because you can hear it all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
I like certain eras of Dylan. I haven't really liked them much since like, I don't know, what was that one? Blood on the Track is one of my favorite records. And the one afterwards.
Yeah, that's a good record.
The one afterwards, which I can't, the title escapes me right now. That's a good record. And then there was a few more along the way. You know, the stuff he did with the band I thought was pretty good
yeah.
and stuff like that. But ever since then, I was just like, oh, the Born Again stuff, which might be good. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember those records. Those were
saved
pretty punchy, actually.
They were? Okay.
Yeah, and there for Dylan.
And there was one that Mark Knopfler did that I thought had some good stuff
yeah.
on it.
You know, an album of his that I do like, particularly a particular song, which maybe King of Hearts, I want to say. This album did not get many accolades for Dylan anyway, but I did like it's called Street Legal.
Street Legal.
I did like that record.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, it is what it is, you know, with Dylan or whatever. I like him more. I mean, I like some of it. I mean, he rocked out, you know, I mean, he was a guy with an intellect, but he wasn't afraid to, like, you know, he was influenced by the Beatles, which is funny because, I mean, even though Dylan probably had a lot of rock and roll influence, as soon as the Beatles came along, became the biggest thing. All of a sudden, he's electric, much to the chagrin of the folkies in the audience or whatever. But I don't particularly like folkies. I don't particularly like, you know, like people like Joan Baez. We talked about Simon and Garfunkel.
Here and there, yeah.
Simon and Garfunkel, you like them more than I do.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I'm not super well versed on all their stuff, but one of their, at least from my youth, one of my favorite songs when I was young was The Sound of Silence. I really like that song a lot.
Yeah, I just, you know, I liked it at the time, but I mean, it just sounds to me like the lyrics are just like, hello, silence.
It's all about alienation, you know, when you're not eight years
when
old.
You're totally alienated.
When you're 8 years old and you can't go to Frankie's Pizza because Dad doesn't want to drive that far.
And then that song
really
hits
home. That's some heavy-duty alienation right there.
Frankie's Pizza's still going strong, too, in Miami.
You're not a pizza expert by
any
means.
I'm not a pizza.
Because
or pizza face, for that
You don't
matter,
eat but. Cheese, but I can tell anybody who happens to hear
But I like cheese.
Yeah. I like
cheesy movies.
Cheesy music sometimes.
Yeah,
The debate is not New York thin or Chicago thick. The debate is everything versus Frankie's Pizza, Bird Road, Miami. If you've never been there, you don't know what you're missing. It's like nothing else going. So it's been there since probably 56 or so.
Wow.
So it's just a stand. You go in, you get your pizza, you take it home, or eat in the parking lot if you want.
Free publicity there.
Fantastic.
Anyway, with the Simon and Garfunkel thing, it was just like, I think it was mostly Art Garfunkel's voice. It just annoyed me after a while, you know, because it was like, it was just too pretty, you know what I mean? It was just like, Simon's singing voice is just fine, and I think he wrote some good songs, but when it became like, you know, I mean, there's a few that I like just because of, like, you know, the era or whatever, and you heard them a lot, and you may have some nostalgic reference to it, but they usually make me cringe. Like Scarborough Fair, which I heard later on it was based on a traditional song, but Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme, you know, whatever, you know. Back then I didn't get it, and today I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. I like people that played folk music. I like Neil when he was doing the singer-songwriter stuff. I like Joni Mitchell. Well, I don't know if I liked her folky stuff as much as I liked her jazzy or mid-period stuff or whatever. I like them. I like some of the I like the birds, some of the stuff that they did and stuff like that, you know, but the 60s folk stuff just doesn't resonate with me. Who else we got on that list there that you just...
Oh, we're all over the map musically, you know. Here's someone that we can pick on together. And it's hard for me to even believe that this person is artistically regarded. I mean, highly regarded artistically, let's put it that way.
Well, he's later on. He's later on, yeah.
But...
J.C.
Who?
J.C.M.
J.C.M.
John Cougar Mellencamp?
No, I'm not talking about that lightweight. I'm talking about Madonna.
Oh, well.
Madonna, she's actually considered artistically significant in many circles.
Yeah.
None of my circles.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
she's made $1 billion, but to me she was like the first, like, you know, little disco queenie girl who jumped up and down and really got hot and really caught on. I mean, there was Donna Summer before her,
yeah,
who I generally like better than Madonna.
Yeah, I do too.
But there's three or four songs of Madonna's that I like that she was kind of aping Peter Gabriel or something. Live to Tell, remember that one? Kind of a slow
Sean
song.
Yeah, yeah, movie or whatever.
Nice song. But for the most part, all that disco bing, bing, bong, bong, this garbage.
But you know, the thing about her is, for the most part, we were talking about rock, even though we did some folk and stuff like that. She's not, I mean, for her to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was a joke to begin with. I don't consider her rock and roll at all. You know?
No, if you're going to call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, how about putting people in there that make rock and roll music?
Yeah, exactly. And there's plenty of them that aren't in there yet, which I can't think of any right now, but later on in the, as a matter of fact, what I'll do is when I'm doing the blog posting itself, I'll put a list of the rock bands that are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Madonna.
There's a lot of people bellyaching about a lot of different bands, you know, that have not made it.
Yeah, I mean, bands that actually played rock music.
You know, I have no problem with, like, you know, rock and pop music.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you know,
yeah,
rock and roll! You
yeah,
know, but
right,
it's got to be rock, pop. I don't know. I don't know where you draw the line. I understand that rock is influenced by country, by blues, you know, and it's a mishmash. But maybe you should have wings. Here's the blues wing. Here's the soul wing.
Well, they do, I think.
You know,
they
I
do.
Guess. But
they do. Well, what about, like, here's one from the 60s that I like two of their records, but the rest of the stuff I can't handle. And there's, I mean, they're not around anymore, but they're Grateful Dead, you know. I mean, I'm not grateful or anything like that they're dead, but it was just like this faux hippie crap, you know, that went on for years and years. At the beginning, it made sense because it was real hippies and they were doing their thing or whatever, but as the years went on, it became like all these, like, 80s and 90s bozos that got tie-dyed and took acid and thought they were going to relive the hippie era or whatever. It just seemed like a false...
I think I like Grateful Dead more than you, although I don't...
I like two of their records. I like...
Albums or songs?
Two of their albums, American Beauty and Working Man's Dead. I like those two records. Because they were the country... They did a band thing. They went back and they did country or more. You know, they didn't go psychedelic and they didn't do... I appreciate, you know, Jerry Garcia for being a really good guitar player and stuff like that. And a big fan of EC Comics and Boris Karloff, so I'll give him...
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was a big Karloff fan.
He's a big Karloff fan, yeah, so I have to give him props for that or whatever, but I didn't particularly care for his music, and there was another one that played for like 3.5 hours or whatever. You know, being in a concert hall with, like, you know, 20,000, you know, hippies... Well, it's not like kind of fake hippies. Anyway.
I think I like the Dead more than you do, but I don't crank them out of, you know, very much. But when I hear their music, it seems like it would be something that you would like, okay? Because it's...
I like the two records, the ones that are more bluesy and down.
But I mean, did they get away from that in a big way?
I didn't like their psychedelic stuff.
Yeah.
And then when they were doing shit like Shakedown Street.
What?
You never heard that? You never heard that?
Poo Poo?
Yeah, that Poo Poo, yeah. Shakedown Street or whatever that. I don't know. And then, like, what was the one? Touch of Grey and that kind of crap.
Yeah,
too.
That's the one that was running through my head just now.
Yeah.
There's another album that you're probably not familiar with.
I know there was one you like called Blues for
Allah. Blues for Allah.
And there was another one.
And usually I'm not big on Allah, but in this case.
There's another one called, I think it was called Before the Flood or something like that, which I guess I was told it would be a good record, but I just never got into it as much. But like I said, I do like two of their records, and I own them. So I can't say that I totally put them down, but I just don't see what the big deal is or whatever, you know.
I'm sure I'm not a big fan compared to a lot of people.
Okay, here's another one that we agree with. Jefferson Airplane. With the exception of maybe two songs, that one I don't get at all.
I'm not even sure which two songs.
White Rabbit and something, Somebody to Love. Just because I remember hearing when I was a kid. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I'm not...
And those are the two songs that she brought from another band.
Oh, really?
She was in another band called, I think, The Great Society or something along those lines. She brought them over to the Airplane, and they had hits with them. So that's not even... Yeah.
You know,
Grace Slick annoyed me, her singing.
I don't even know if I... Those songs, I don't think I'd even grab them off YouTube and put them in my
file.
They're
pretty common.
Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing. Jefferson Starship, when they got going later,
God.
Abysmal.
Yeah.
You talk about whiny, weird Marty Balin. What is that?
Yeah, he was like Mr. Ballad guy or something.
What was that song? He had two or three songs that were hits in the
If Only
80s.
You Believe Like I Believe.
Oh, God, please.
So what was the name of that song? Miracles.
Miracles.
Yeah.
That was
a big hit.
It was one that was horrible. After that was...
I don't know. That's the only one
My Love or Your Love or Somebody's Love. It's just...
Your favorite is the one from the 80s, We Built This City.
Oh,
on
man.
Rock and roll.
God, please.
Everybody's changing corporation... names. Everybody's playing corporation games or something.
Oh, you're talking about poetry.
Yeah.
What did I ever make? Nothing. I know.
Yeah, there
but,
you go.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, good musicianship in that band. You know.
I guess I knew what they're doing, but
did you ever get into that offshoot called Hot Tuna that they did with Yorma and Jack?
I don't know how to say that guy's name.
Yorma Kokkonen or Kaukonen or something like that.
I remember that Nelson song that I liked pretty well. Put
Which
the lime
one?
In the coconut, mix it all up.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that one.
Oh God, let's see. If we got somebody. Do you have anybody? Well, okay. Here's a guy who is one of the most highly rated guys of all time. And I think I only like his work up to like 73 or 74. He's at one time he was considered God.
Really?
Yep. And that would be EC.
Eric Clapton. I love EC Comics.
Really good in the 60s, early 70s. But man, as soon as he started doing like songs like Wonderful Tonight and stuff like that, it became a snoozer.
If that was like one or two songs per album that were like that, that would be okay for the ladies out there, for the slow dance.
But,
you know, he's this legendary guitarist, and I'm thinking with the emphasis on legendary.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I haven't heard the guy hit some big licks since the Derek and the Dominoes or something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's been since like, it almost seems like, yeah, he's like one of these guys that has been living off his, you know, name for like million years. I mean, he changed his guitar style a little bit. He wasn't like the same guy that, you know, was playing in Cream, because he was another one that got influenced a lot by the band, and he kind of became more of a down-home, rootsy guitar player. Blues still, you know, but, you know, the stuff that he was doing with Cream and John Mayall was like, you know, pretty intense stuff. And another funny thing about some of these guys, but I guess it makes sense, is like when they had some kind of a fire when they were young, you know, and it was amazing. And then all of a sudden, I guess it's with age and then you mellow out a little bit.
Well, I should know something about that.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, you know, it's just like what happened, you know. But I guess I do like his early musical acts. I can't put him down. Like, you know.
No, I mean I certainly respect
totally.
His stuff, but I don't. Wait for anything new.
There's flashes of genius every once in a while, you know. But I think he was better as a band member. Yardbirds too. God, how can I forget the guy? I think he was better as a band member than he was as a solo artist. And that's my take at Eric Clapton. You know,
Could
I
be.
Mean, I don't think he has the great songs in him, but he's got the great guitar. And with the Derek and the Dominoes, he was playing along with Duane Allman. So,
right.
You know, you had like a foil to play against. So, and that's another thing about Clapton. A lot of the few times that I've seen him, He's always got another guitar player. Not always. Sometimes he plays solo. So there's always somebody there. And when I'm pretty sure that when I saw him in 78, he had George Terry playing with him. And I think George Terry was even taking some of the leads on Layla or whatever, which is like, what? You know, but, you know, that's Clapton or whatever. That was during his alcoholic years, I believe. After he kicked heroin, he became an alcoholic. From what I hear, that's the way it goes. You know, you kick heroin and you become an alcoholic. You know?
I've missed all of that, so I don't.
I don't either. That's what people in the know.
All
tell
I know
me,
is how know. To get fat. Eat.
Well, that's always a good thing. You know, eating, not getting fat, but eating. Mm. All right, well, let's play. Let's play some music from some of these people.
Why don't we play some music from people that are similar but are better, that are, maybe are less
all
known.
Right. All right, sounds like a good idea. I hope I can. We'll have to find them.
We'll start out with Fast Cars by Judy Zook.
Thank you.
Delaware, when I was young. younger, I would row upon the lake. In the spring I had great hunger. I was Keats, I was Blake. My pimple pencil pain I'd bring to frogs who sat entranced. My drift dream did as I would say. The water strider danced. Delaware, when I was younger, they thought St. Andrew had sufficed. But in the spring I had great hunger. I was Buddha, I was Christ. You wicked wise men, where's your wonder?
Yeah. would I go when no man before me bothered to go? Well, the soles of my shoes are shot full of holes, and it's all downhill with a bullet. This rambling and roving is taking its course. I'm grazing with the dinosaurs and the dear old horses, and the city streets crack, and a great hole forces me down my soapbox, my pulpit. The theater ceiling, the silver star spangled, and the coins in my pocket go jingle. There's a rustle of cloth and a sickly voice calling me handsome. There's a man in the theater with sly girlish eyes. On the screen there's a neat big gorilla. There's a groan, there's a cough, there's a rustle of cloth and a voice that stinks of death and vanilla. Mauled and mangled, and the coins in my pocket go jingle, jingle. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Blood. The lights go down, the red curtains come apart. This air is full of smoke and dialogue I know by heart. And the coins in my pocket jingle jangle as the great screen crackled and popped. And the clock of my boyhood was wound down and stopped. And my handsome little body hardly propped, and my trousers right down in my ankles. Yes, onward and upward, and I'm off to find love. If you love me, if you do, I'm thankful. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Squatting by the river gives a lot, but it takes it away in my youth. There comes a time when you just cannot deliver. Well, this is a fact, this is a stone cold truth. Do you love me? I love you handsome. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. You are handsome. Amongst the cogs and wires, my youth. Vanilla breath and handsome apes with girlish eyes. Dreams that roam between truth and untruth. Memories that become monstrous lies. So onward and onward and onward I go. And upward, and I'm off to find love. With blue black bracelets on my wrists, my ankles, and the coins in my pocket go and jingle, jangle. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you?
So the idea there was not to replace these great musical icons, but just suggest some alternatives there that are similar in the same musical universe, but a little bit different, maybe a little twist on some of the vibes that have been so popular through the years. So what we did there, for Madonna, we used Judy Zuke, which is T-Z-U-K-E. She was big in the 80s in Britain especially. That was a little number called Sports Car, kind of a mad chick song. Then we had a little Rory Gallagher, the late great Rory Gallagher, A Million Miles Away, a great Irish guitarist, blues man. He's kind of our answer to Eric Clapton for this right. evening.
Right. Or afternoon or morning.
Yeah, whatever this is. Of course, you're not going to ever replace Bob Dylan. This guy himself said, I'm supposed to be the new Bob Dylan. He always made a joke about it, and he still does in his concerts. But certainly, Loudon Wainwright is in Bob Dylan's universe, musically speaking. And that was one of his early great songs called School Days. As far as Psychedelia, baby. We're going with, instead of Jefferson Airplane, we went with a little Roki Erickson and the 13th Floor Elevators. You're going to miss me. And for a little Doors influence, we went with the great Nick Cave, always great, Do You Love Me? That is a very primary question in life, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Nick Cave with, what is he doing, Grinder Man? Does he do solo albums anymore?
Oh, yeah, he's back to doing solo albums
now.
Oh,
he stopped Grinder Man?
Yeah, for the time being. They did two albums, I believe, and that's it for the time being.
Okay. All right, let's see. Where we still got more.
Yeah, I know who I'd like to pick on next.
Go ahead.
I love Van Morrison. Love Van Morrison. Not a big fan of Van Halen, however.
What about Van Heflin, the artist?
The actor, star. He's okay. Van Johnson, yeah, it's all right. You know, you like the old movies.
Van Heusen had good clothing.
Van Heusen?
Had good clothing.
Martin Van Buren was, a decent president, but Van Halen?
Yeah, nice guitar player, you know, really fast.
I know they know what they're doing, but to me their music is just so...
Pedestrian?
Superficial, thin, tripe.
Yeah. It was an excuse for the guys playing, even though, I'll give them this much, you know, David Lee Roth was tough to take. Some people love him. I just can't. I don't either love him or hate him. I mean,
Chicks loved him.
Some of the music was actually decent music, but it was marred by like some of the overblown, you know, aspects of it.
Yeah.
Overblown is a tough, you know, thing to deal with. You know, some prog bands could do overblown really good. But some rock bands do overblown really bad.
We're complaining about Springsteen's bombacity.
Yeah,
you know,
there you
right?
go.
But, Van Halen, I always thought Van Halen was a rock and roll band for girls because, you know, they're cute and they strut around in their little tight things, whatever. You know, David Lee Roth was a sex symbol to the chicks back in the early 80s.
Plus, wasn't David Lee Roth in his early days really just another... Here's an obscure one for you. Wasn't he just like imitating the guy from Black Oak, Arkansas, like Jim Dandy? Remember that Jim Dandy dude?
Yeah,
he had
like
the long blonde hair and he had the stretchy pants on.
I got to say, they must have been a big influence on Van Halen. They were very theatrical and flamboyant and silly. And Van Halen, you know, they didn't have that Southern vibe, of course, but they were in more of the, the mainstream America or Northeastern vibe. Where are those guys from? Are they from California?
Yeah, they're from California. They're
okay,
Cali
yeah,
band,
yeah, they're yeah. Cali band, right? So
yeah. They had.
So you know, it's like for all Americans. Here's Van Halen. Black Oak, Arkansas was more of a southeastern thing. You know.
Yeah, they were. I just remember seeing them a lot on in concert back in the 70s and stuff like that. Yeah. I wasn't a big fan, and that one song cracks me up though. Jim Dandy to the Rescue.
Yeah.
That's kind of a funny song, and it's a. It's a cover of an old song by, I think, Louis Prima or somebody like that. Or somebody like that. I'm not 100% sure. It's a cover of an old song.
But apparently, Eddie Van Halen, he was the lead guitarist, right?
Yeah.
He apparently loved himself very much because he married himself in the form of Valerie Bertinelli.
And then he divorced himself.
Yeah, and then he divorced himself.
And became a meth addict for a while.
That's always a good idea.
Yeah, and had to get a new tea for
a while. I have a lot of money, so why don't I do a lot of damaging drugs?
It's that rich guilt thing that we deal with in society. You know, I don't get it. Hey, whatever, you know.
Eddie, if you just give me $3 million, I promise you I'm done and I won't damage myself. Except I got to go on a diet. But as far as drugs, no.
Now, you know, I mean, you like hard rock just as much as anybody else.
I do.
I mean, if you want to dig a hard rock band, who do you?
Well, I always say my favorite straight ahead, just no nonsense, no frills rock and roll band is Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy, that's a good one.
Some bands that have rocked. I mean, maybe if there's some real rockers out there, going to laugh at my list, right? But of course, Zeppelin.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Thin Lizzy. Blue Oyster Cult could rock. I like Blue Oyster Cult a lot.
Yeah, they had their moments.
They certainly had their moments. I'm sure they consider themselves rockers.
Yeah, they definitely do.
The ones that are still alive. UFO I liked quite a bit.
Yeah,
back
they were
in
good
the day.
Those are
some guys that can play the guitar, man.
Michael Schenker.
Yeah, Michael Schenker. It's unfortunate they had that unfortunate Schenker, but
yeah, well, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Hendrix,
think,
of course.
I think penicillin, you know, can cure that.
We all like Hendrix.
Well, yeah, Hendrix is like the guitar, you know, guy. Yeah, I mean, what about, cause I don't consider them a metal band, but do you like any of the metal bands at all? I mean, Black Sabbath, I guess.
Kind of leave me cold. I'm not really, I love Zeppelin, but I'm not big on Sabbath, no.
Yeah, I like Sabbath and Deep Purple and stuff like that. I don't care for, even though I like some songs, I don't care for the Judas Priest or the Iron Maidens, you know, it's a little bit too operatic at times, you know what I mean?
It's a dramatic thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Scorpions.
Yeah, Rock Me Like a Hurricane or whatever.
That song's fun, but,
it's
you know, right. I don't want to take a lot of it. I was just going through my media library, cassettes and albums, and trying to find apt replacements in one form or another, and I do have some Golden Earring. And some,
yeah, they're good. Golden
some
Earring,
Wishbone Ash.
Wishbone Ash were good with the twin guitars, kind of like what you know.
Thin Lizzy and even
other bands like that we just mentioned, Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, are both with the twin guitars. You know.
You know one thing I like, which I don't think you're too much into, but there's probably a couple of bands, but one that I'm mostly familiar with, of course, Porcupine Tree.
Mm.
They do the kind of a metal prog.
Well, that's the Rush thing, and I'm glad.
Rush.
I'm glad
like
you said
Rush.
That because that's a band
that you don't like.
That I don't particularly care for. There are moments when I've liked Rush when they toned it down a little bit, but when they're doing their like 30-minute, you know, whatever, and Geddy Lee's like singing at levels that only a dog. Could, you know,
he's doing his David Surkamp imitation.
Yeah, he's doing his Pavlov's dog imitation. It just irritates the hell out of me. You know, they're great players, and to me, you know, I mean, they're considered like a progressive rock band. You know, I don't see that at all. I can see the time signatures. I can see maybe like the length of the songs, but it always seemed to me they were just like an extended like metal band or whatever. You know,
I think there's plenty of metal in there.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, when they were doing stuff like Tom Sawyer and stuff, they changed their sound a little bit. And it became, I think Geddy Lee lowered his vocal range a little lower, so it was a little more palatable to my ears. But
there were, by the time they got into that, and I'm not an expert on Rush, although I have most of their catalog, I think they got a little bit more rock and roll and more Metallica at that time. The earlier albums were more prog.
Even though I don't consider them prog, I mean, I can see why.
The early albums were very progish.
They were, okay.
Yeah, like, remember the song about the tree and the social
The trees demanded equal rights or whatever.
Yeah, it was, actually, it was a probably a pro-capitalist song. Interesting. A rarity.
Was that the during their Ayn Rand period or whatever?
There's some Ayn Rand shadings in some of the early albums,
Some objectivism.
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
That Neil Peart was into at some point, I guess, and back in the, I think they dedicate 2112 to Ayn.
I don't think they mention her by name, but I think it's pretty evident. You know, it's sort of like the Steve Ditko tribute.
Because I think they were reading. I think I watched a documentary on it. The guy said he was reading Atlas Shrugged or something like that, and they got into the. You know, it's funny, and I was watching some show one time, and they got that guy from
His name is Sebastian Bach from whatever that band I can't think of it. I'm sorry, dude. I can't.
Some hair that. Band that.
Yeah, I mean they were okay, you know. Yeah, but he was saying that when he was a kid, he bought that Rush album. He became he actually influenced him to buy Atlas Shrugged just because he learned the. So yeah,
I'm sure
there
that
you
happened.
Go. You know, there you go.
I was turned on to Ayn Rand from an Israeli that I knew when I worked in a record store in Miami, and I was trying to get over a girl, and he goes, "Yeah, just go read some Ayn Rand." I said, "Okay." It didn't really help me get over this chick, but it was interesting reading.
Oh, God. Who we got here? Okay. Oh, all right. 70s. Eagles. Reading the book.
Oh. What? You don't know the name of it offhand.
What, the Eagles?
The Eagles book.
Oh, Take It to the Limit.
Take it.
Good book.
To the Limit.
Doesn't paint a pretty picture of the band.
No, I didn't.
Especially Don Henley.
I wouldn't be surprised by anything I'd read in there about those guys.
A decent band. Very derivative of a band that came before.
Well, they kind of it, hardened the, kind of like making a diamond, you know? Fire it up and harden it, you know?
I look at them as this. They took from what came before them, like, say, Buffalo Springfield or stuff like that, and they kind of took all the, you know, rough edges out, like you said.
Yeah.
To me, they were the first corporate rock band. Their manager, Azoff.
How about the Monkees?
The Monkees were like the different whole thing, you know. But they were, to me, corporate rock would be what that Irving Azoff, because I'm reading a book, did bands like Journey and stuff like that, and maybe even Styx, where they were a second or third generation band. They took what came before them, but took all the rough edges out and made it kind of easy on the ears. You know what I mean? It was so that's the main. The Eagles had good songs.
Yep.
They played well, especially when Joe Walsh and Felder were in the band or whatever. Their songs just didn't, you know, hold it for me. But they're memorable because I still remember them when people mention like stuff like "Take It to the Limit" or "Taquito Sunrise" or whatever.
With me, it's funny. I enjoy criticizing the Eagles Eagles as they're called. I think there's a lot of foibles with their personalities and how they all came about. But I continue to enjoy most of their music whenever I hear it. One of These Nights, just a killer song.
It is a good song.
It's a great song that most men of a younger age than me can relate to.
Right.
You know, where you're like, you're interested in a girl and she's kind of giving you that run around, but she's still keeping you on the hook a little bit.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You're like, either I'm going to bail out of here or I'm going to...
Yeah.
One of these nights. That's not for hitting. That's for we're going to come to an agreement of a romantic agreement.
Yeah,
nights.
That's a nice way of saying it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but
or I'm hitting the road.
One or the other. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fine and dandy.
Great song.
It's funny because their producer of their first two records, Glenn Johns, was always pushing them more towards being a like a harmony country. And they wanted to be a hard rock band. And even to this day, I was reading in the book that he goes, yeah, you know, they got Joe Walsh and this and that. And they became a rock band, but they became a crappy rock. So even Glenn Johns still criticized them. But he does like some of this work they did, obviously, on the record that he produced. And they were. And the weird thing about it is those first two Eagles records were made in England, which is very strange to me.
I did not know that.
Yes, they were. They were made in England and with Glenn Johns, so very strange.
Glenn Johns is a British man.
He's a British producer of, like, you know, hard rock and, you know, very famous.
So I like a lot of their music. I've had a lot of problems with their personalities. I love Joe Walsh. As far as I know, he's a fun-loving, easygoing guy. Have a lot of respect for Joe. I like some of the guys that bailed out of the band, like Leadon. I think he had some Gainesville, Florida roots.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Meisner also. Don Felder got screwed over by
Henley
and Frey. They didn't want to pay him as much. They didn't want to give him writing credits. You know, he was responsible for that awesome guitar lead on Hotel California.
He's responsible for the intro to Hotel California.
Yeah,
he's not credited as writing the song.
I don't believe he's got writing credits. Henley
and that part of the beginning of a Hotel California, That's what draws you into
the
song.
Yes, of course.
When he starts with this little half reggae thing, you know, which is fine, it's that intro that, like, you know, that's Felder.
So, you know, he's been raked over the coals by those guys. They, in concert, they didn't want to pay him, an equal share of the
that's
whole thing.
BS.
So these guys are always talking about egalitarian. I'm talking about Henley and Frey, okay?
Yeah.
Tim Schmidt's on the edges, you know, and I like Tim Schmidt a lot. It's a good,
He replaced Meisner in two bands, the Eagles and Poco.
And Poco, right, yeah. Meisner's, what was his famous Eagles song?
Take It to the Limit. Randy Meisner, that's...
No. I'm talking about Schmidt.
Timothy Schmidt, oh, you're killing me now.
I'm killing myself.
Anyway, go ahead.
Maybe it'll come to me. It's a very nice little ballad.
Right.
I like Tim Schmidt's voice, always have. But as far as Frey and Henley, these are a couple of guys who I hope have gained wisdom in their old age because they have been kind of low-character dudes as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
You know, and the egalitarian hypocrisy... If you read the liner notes of like some of the collections, you know, the big box sets or whatever, their music, you know, everyone else trying to make a living is the bad guy. You work for a corporation. You try to buy a piece of property. Oh, you're all killing the environment. You're killing the little animals and the bugs and the bees and all of this. But then on the next page or two pages over, you read about, oh, we wrote this song in this great house overlooking the valley.
Yeah, right.
When we're, you know, so you can have your stuff, but we can't have ours. Is that what it is, Don?
And beyond that, let's just say they're like that. The fact that they would cut, you know, the pay to certain band members.
Yeah.
That's just garbage. You know,
it
it's
is
like,
garbage.
Hey, if you're gonna be fair, pay everybody equally. You know, where's the fairness doctrine in that? You know, but. That's there you go, the Eagles. You know, not a bad band, not a great band, but definitely a popular band.
Probably, and I have all their music, and I'm glad that I do, but I certainly have some reservations. Although I will say a funny little aside about the Eagles and one of my favorite non-bands, Steely Dan.
Yeah, well,
remember the
duo?
Yes, remember the little tit for tat they had back in the day?
No.
Steely Dan wrote one of their songs off of, I think, their fourth or fifth album, The Royal Scam. Fagan has that line, "Turn up the Eagles,
oh, yeah,
the Eagles
yeah, yeah, yeah.
are listening." And then in response, Henley wrote, "We stab them with our steely knives, but we just can't kill the beast."
It's
a retort to Steely Dan. So that was kind of cute.
And tit for tat is always a good thing anyway.
If I could just find more tat.
Exactly. More 70s bands. Well, this band you don't care for that much. I thought they were a good pop band. You know, but yeah, I could see the Cars, right? You're not a big fan of the Cars.
Yeah. I think they're well regarded. Are they? They may be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know. I think they are. I'm no expert on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
But I find their sound to be very gimmicky and predictable.
Somewhat.
And you know, to me, the important band that created that sound was Roxy Music, much more sophisticated. I know that the Cars were really more of a 3-4 minute song kind of a band.
Oh, yeah.
But I like a few of their songs, but I just don't see why they were ever that popular.
I like their first couple of records. I thought their songs.
Ten to you.
I thought their records were very well produced, polished, and catchy. Now, everything that you said, I kind of agree with too. Well, here's an off topic. One, we're gonna go because you mentioned the band Roxy Music, and this one's for Don, who's a big Duran Duran fan. To this day,
oh, Don's a big Duran Duran fan.
Yeah, to this day, maybe you can explain to me why people compare Duran Duran to Roxy Music. I don't see any similarity.
Really?
I don't see any similarity in those two bands. Maybe in the later version of Roxy Music, maybe in the Avalon version of Roxy Music, but in the first five records, I don't see any similarity.
Duran certainly didn't challenge any boundaries like...
I don't consider them...
Like Roxy did, but...
I don't consider them like... as artistic or edgy or groundbreaking
or
anything.
No, none of that. I think just the way they structure some of their songs, their choruses or something, their soaring choruses.
Uh-huh.
Roxy would do that. And okay. Did Duran Duran use a sax?
I think so.
Not every band used sax in those days.
No, not every band. So. And the sax is always a good part of a band.
And violins.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, here's one that, again, this one's for Don. Don's going to kill me for this one, but I'm going to say it. Another band that I like two or three songs of, but I just don't get it. I mean, they had hits and stuff like that, but I just don't get it, is Queen. It's one of those bands that...
Talk about gimmicky.
Yeah. I mean, I like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh,
I bought that record when I was a kid, but, you know, everything else is
but
just
But you know
like,
that song, Bohemian Rhapsody, that's as painful as listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. I mean, you have to go through this big rigmarole, la, 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 theatrical, quasi,
it was a little proggy thing going on there, whatever.
There's a few of their songs that really kick it, but for the most part...
Yeah, there are. There's Sheer Heart Attack and stuff like that.
And I'm in Love with My Car.
Yeah, I'm in Love with My Car is a good song, too, yeah.
But I don't like that Bohemian Rhapsody and...
Yeah.
And all those We Are the Champion and
yeah,
I Will Rock You.
These dopey anthems
it's
or whatever.
Silly.
Here's the thing about Queen that why I put them on this list, because it really was a stupid thing. I don't know if you remember this or not. I know it was on Night at the Opera. It might have been on other ones. But when they do their credits, they give the, you know, writing, blah, 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 band. But they always went out of their way in the early days to emphasize the fact that no synthesizers were used on their records.
Because, I remember that.
Because Brian May was doing all this. It's like, dude. Why go through all the trouble? Use a friggin' synthesizer or whatever, you know? It's like there was a band, there was an album by the band, the Godly and Cream from 10cc.
Right.
I think it was called Consequences. And they invented this guitar thing called the Gizmo that did some kind of a bowing effect. So on that record, they went out of their way to use that Gizmo thing to try to imitate sounds of saxophones or violins. And I'm thinking to myself, just get a violin and a saxophone, man. You know, give me a break. You know, that kind of. I think that's what annoyed me the most about Queen. But Brian May is a great player, and you know, and they do have some good songs. But I just don't get it. I mean, I know the whole Freddie Mercury thing, and that. But I don't even consider Freddie Mercury one of the great rock singers. I thought he was a really good one. They had a great voice. He would have been great for opera.
Yeah.
You know, or we've been great pop singer, and he was a good rock singer, but I just don't get it.
I used to work with someone who loved Queen, and I never got it, really.
Who else we got on there?
Well, we have some...
Well, we have two people there that are kind of similar, right? Seeger and Mellencamp.
Yeah.
They're kind of Americana.
You
know, Americana guys, kind of in the Springsteen vein, except Springsteen was probably... Maybe a Seeger imitator in a way, you know.
Was an admirer.
An admirer.
Seeger was always more low key, not
so
bombastic, and more down to earth, I guess.
I think so, yeah.
And I do like some Bob Seeger tunes, but boy, he's had a lot of hits in the 70s and then into the early 80s, which were really boring to me.
Yeah,
you know, I like Cat
Like a Rock.
Yeah, that's a commercial song.
Yeah,
it sure is. But like Kathmandu, remember that was a fun
that
song.
That was a good song. Not Bush City Limits, which he wrote that. I think Ike and Tina covered it.
You know, Thin Lizzy
like
did a Rosalie, which is a good
Rosalie's
song.
A really good song. So
yeah.
My favorite Thin
Lizzy's
Lizzie
version is better. But...
And Ramblin' Gamblin' Man, was the Bob Seeger system.
Yeah. I said Kathmandu, of course, right?
Yeah, I think and Dave Edmunds did a cover, Get Out of Denver, I think the name of the song was. You know, no offense to Peyton Manning or anything.
But you
like
talk
that.
About some songs that are really not very good, in my opinion. Night Moves.
Yeah. Well.
You know, come on, man. She was, what was it? I
don't know, I forgot that song. I just remember, like a rock.
She was using me. I was using her. Nobody seemed to come at her.
That's like a Springsteen thing. Yeah. I swear to God. It's like, it may have come after Springsteen.
I don't want to hear about your adolescent sex life, dude.
That's a Springsteen thing. Right, I see a big connection, but I like Seeger a lot better just because he was an original. Kind of, sort of.
And another band was Horizontal Bop.
I don't know that.
You know, it was about the act.
I know what it's about. I just don't remember that song.
Yes, I don't want to. That sounds dumb.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
let's go to Cougar.
He's an old fogey, Seeger.
Let's get to Cougar with a little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Oh God!
Give me a effing break on that.
You know, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If you want to look at about 20 minutes of pure self-indulgence,
yeah, there you go.
Go to YouTube and look at his acceptance speech.
Oh, God.
And he goes, talking about, oh, all the odds were against me. About, dude, shut up. This is how little regard I have for, what's his name?
John Cougar.
Johnny Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know,
John Mellencamp.
I was mixed about his name, you know, because they wanted to glam him up. I don't care.
Whatever.
You can be called.
That was Bowie's producer or manager, Tony DeFreeze.
You can be called Little Bo Peep.
All right.
If I like your music, that's fine. This is the two best things I can ever say about John Cougar Mellencamp. I read that when he was in college, he used to spend his time laying around his dorm room listening to Roxy music.
That's cool.
But it did not translate to his music. And the other thing that he said in an interview a few years ago is he said, yeah, Todd Rundgren should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I agree.
But that's it.
Todd Rundgren, according to Don, which I believe he saw, Todd Rundgren is in the building. And I think there's some artifacts of Todd Rundgren, but he has never been formally inducted.
He did a concert there, I know.
But he is in the building. Last year too. So, yeah. So.
But Mellencamp's music, he talked about trite, boring, predictable, blah.
It's just like, it's too earnest to be, you know.
And, of course, he's a big hater of many things that I don't necessarily hate.
Yeah, he was trying to, yeah, whatever. He's just to me like a...
He's a whiner.
He's probably a nice guy or whatever.
No, I don't think he is.
He's not. He's always seemed to me like a...
He's a whiner. He thinks he's a tough guy and all this. He's got the little short guy syndrome and all.
Yeah. He's like a third-rate guy.
He's a fourth-rate guy.
He had some songs that were catchy. So now the last but not least, this is a band who I liked their first two records, but you were never a big fan of Santana.
No. I don't mind hearing the guitar.
Yeah.
You know, for a few passages, but I'm not into the whole
Latino vibe.
That's not even true. I like the...
You like some bands.
I like the Fania All-Stars.
There you go. That's the real deal.
They're the real deal, but Santana... He seems... Another thing about Santana that gets my nerves is no matter what comes down the pipe musically, he's like, oh, yeah, they're my friends, you know? He had some guy from Matchbox 20 singing on his record or something.
Oh, yeah, that one record where he had all the younger people singing.
All these guys from the late 90s that had to have a number in their band name.
Yeah.
You know, Third Eye Blind, 20, Matchbox 20, Three Doors Down. Am I missing some? I must be missing some. I mean, all these...
13th Floor Elevator.
No, that's the... All these... Anonymous, vanilla, sound the same, boring, crap bands. I mean, and now he's hopping around with hip-hop artists. And saying, yes, please.
First two, maybe three records of his, I liked. I mean, I liked, even though he co-opted Black Magic Woman, I still love the Peter Green version of it. And he does have I like his guitar playing in a sense because it reminds me of of Peter Green, who I feel to be a better, in a lot of ways, guitar player. But after that, they just became kind of like he became a pop guy in a lot of ways. You know, he lost his way. And then, like you said, he involves himself with new people just to keep his career.
To keep
but
him
he's still
a
nice.
High
he's still a really good guitar player. So I'll give him that much. But
he's got to be pushing.
But besides Greg 70. Raleigh or whoever the original lead singer he had, he's just had a bunch of people that were nondescript, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't plug into those guys for some reason. And by the way, I want to say that my opinions are only my opinions. I could be totally wrong. God himself could love these guys.
Yes.
And anyone out there who likes the stuff that I have,
the opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the...
This is my opinion. You know, opinion, I could be wrong.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the respective people. They do right. not reflect Destination Nightmare.
Someone who's listening to this right now could hate with a passion all of these people.
Yep.
Lou Reed, Todd Rundgren,
yep.
Roxy Music, Pink Floyd, and Leon Russell. I can't believe someone would be that idiotic to do that, but I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on that note, I guess we should call it a podcast, as it were. I thank you for... did we miss somebody?
GNR. I don't know.
You know, that kind of stuff.
We're reading the flow here.
Yeah, we're kind of like, I mean...
Guns N' Roses, not
they
a
are in the
fan,
Rock and Roll so. Hall of Fame. So I guess we can give them a little bit of like, you know, because I get, you know, but yeah, 90s already. It was already like, you know, winding down.
I didn't like the little, what was the guy's name?
Axl Rose.
Axl Rose. I mean, the videos were like, look at me. It's all dirty. Well, you're a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. I don't know. This is a weird little weasel guy. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I liked a few of their songs, but him, he's a whatever.
Now,
yeah, I mean, like you said, they could be great people, though.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I guess we're going to throw out four or five songs that are kind of similar to some of these bands, but who knows? Yeah,
but we'll talk to you. We'll post them on the...
Yeah, we'll post them. And you're going to list the songs and the artists, probably? Or?
Yeah, I'll list them. I'll list them on the,
so,
on the blog post.
We got to do about 26 hours of research.
Well, we got the first four or five done. That's like the next four or five that we're going to have to
So this is kind of an abbreviated version. I got to hit the road. But it's always fun to do these.
Yeah, like I said before, thank you, CK. And it was nice to do a podcast with you. We're not going to talk about Rod Stewart, because we liked him, we still like him, but he did do some crappy records in the 80s and beyond.
Yeah, he got a little soft, but...
But we still have a soft spot for...
Next time, we might do the opposite. When we have some time...
Yeah, there you go.
This will be interesting. We're going to plan it out a little bit more. This was kind of ad lib, almost.
Spur of the moment.
Yeah, in transit. But we're going to do what we can get ripped for big time. We're going to, next time, list about four or five artists, or six artists
or
each...
More.
That we like, that are not hip,
that are totally square.
The people that are like, you like such and such, you are not hip.
Well, I know for
sure.
I know it's not going to be the Osmond Brothers for me. I'm not going there. I'm not going that far. Carpenters maybe.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Carpenters maybe.
Yeah, but yeah, we're going to name some people that, especially that I know that I like, that I'm not supposed to like, but I like them anyway.
You're not supposed to like, according to Rolling Stone and people of their ilk, and
right.
Robert Christgau and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And on that note, we'll see you next time.
find Al's other podcast, Slow Robot A Go-Go, Dallas's webcomic, The Mighty Blue, and Al's blog, Destination Nightmare, on the sidebar of our blog at bunchofdorks.com.
And click on the Cyclops!